Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Christians celebrating the resurrection with us, Michelle and I want to wish you a blessed and happy Easter.
The resurrection of Christ is not some symbol about how things keep living on, death to life and the great circle of life. The resurrection is the antidote to death itself.
We've got over 3,000 people at St. Patrick's Cathedral this morning. You'd think 1 Timothy Dolan would be happy, but I'm jealous because 1 Timothy Tebow has 25,000 in Texas.
And I'm just so blessed to have a platform that, you know, when cameras are rolling, that they can't just turn it off and they have to hear me say, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Hi, this is Eric, and I'm a steel worker from Pittsburgh, PA. With some noise reduction headphones and the new iPhone app, I listen to Issues, Etc. all day long.
We meet her in two brief verses in Paul's letter to the Romans in the New Testament, Phoebe. And she's called a sister, she's called a servant. What in the world is she? Who is she? I mean, we don't know much about the who, but what is she doing? Is she carrying the letter that Paul has written to the Romans to that church? Is she a pastor? She's commonly regarded in the church in its history as a deaconess, but what does that mean? Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. live this Friday afternoon, April the 13th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be talking with Deaconess Cynthia Lumley about Phoebe, deaconess in the New Testament church, for about a half hour here on Issues Etc. Then, as we usually do on Friday afternoons, we're going to play a game with you that we call Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We play four soundbites for you. You listen, and then you call, you email, you send us a tweet, or you visit our Facebook fan page, and you vote, and you pick Soundbite of the Week. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc, or that Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Deaconess Cynthia Lumley is Associate Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, author of a chapter in the book Women Pastors? Deaconess Lumley's chapter is titled Phoebe, a Role Model for Deaconesses Today. Deaconess Lumley, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you.
Many think that Phoebe was not, in fact, just a deaconess. She was a pastor in the New Testament church, was she?
No, she was not. Certainly, if she had been, I'm fairly convinced that Paul would have identified her as such. And he uses various terms to describe her, but nothing at all that it would indicate she was a pastor.
So in the few verses that we have of her from St. Paul, I believe in the book of Romans, if I'm not mistaken, what kind of a brief biography can we construct of this woman and this servant in the early church?
Well, in spite of the paucity of words about her, there's quite a lot of information packed into those two verses in Romans 16. First of all, her name, Phoebe, was a Gentile name, so we can assume that she was a convert to Christianity. Paul uses three terms to describe her. He, first of all, refers to her as our sister, Phoebe, and because it's highly unlikely that she was a blood relative of Paul's, that would be a sister through her baptism, through her fellowship within the church. He also talks about her as a diakonon, and that's the Greek word that we transliterate quite often to get the word deaconess. And there are many different ways you could translate that, but certainly it implies a person who gave service to the church, who was a servant of the church. So she was very active in her church. And finally, he talks about her as being a helper of many and of himself included. So we know that she was extending hospitality to others and that she was a support for Paul in the church.
Well, we could call her in a general sense a deaconess, according to Paul's appellation there. Does that necessarily mean that she was a deaconess in the sense that modern-day deaconesses are in their service of the church today?
Not in the sense of a formally established office. There really isn't an established office of deaconess within Scripture. We have the deacons who were established certainly in Acts 6, but there's not a formal office of deaconess. But of course there are many examples of women who provided diaconal service, diaconal care within Scripture.
Let's talk about that kind of generally. And it's true of both deacons and deaconesses mm-hmm. in the history of the church, that this office, auxiliary as it is, was considered part and parcel of the church's proclamation of the gospel and administration of the sacraments, even though deaconesses or deacons did not proclaim the gospel or administer the sacraments, but served through acts of mercy. Why did the two always go together in the church's mind?
The two always go together because Christ came for the benefit of the whole world. And of course, within the church, we receive his gifts of word and sacrament, but we don't want that to stay just within our closed community. We want to take that gospel and spread it to the world. And so, diaconia, acts of care, are ways in which we communicate to the world the love of Christ. And through those acts, we point back to the altar, to the pastor, to the gifts that Christ gives us.
Let's take those terms that Paul uses for Phoebe mm-hmm. apart, if we could. You mentioned just a moment ago that she is likely not a blood sister, but a sister by baptism to St. Paul. What would it have meant for Paul to refer to a woman like Phoebe as sister?
Certainly it would have meant that she was a member of the church, definitely, a child of God. Her baptism brought her into God's family, into communion with the other members of God's family, and therefore she would be a sister in that sense. So I think certainly close within the church community and definitely referring to her identity as a child of God through baptism.
How does that fit within the context of the book of Romans where Paul, and we'll talk about this a little bit in a few minutes, where Paul is commending Phoebe to the Roman congregation for him to say, here she is, my sister?
I think that certainly attaches a level of importance to her that emphasizes to them that she is also their sister, in the same way that she is part of the community within Corinth, within Cenchreae. She's also a part of the wider community, the church, and a member of God's family, and therefore not just a sister to Paul. I mean, he says our sister in Romans, which is very inclusive, so she would be commended as their sister as well.
Then the next term, and we've touched upon this already, is a bit troublesome. It's hard to figure out exactly what Paul may be saying here. But he uses this term in Greek, diakonon, mm-hmm. which is used rather commonly in the New Testament. But mm-hmm. with respect to Phoebe, what can we and shouldn't we say about what Paul's telling us about her?
Well, I think in many ways it's often used to reflect loving service. Certainly we often reflect back on the fact that Jesus himself referred to himself as someone who came not to be served but to serve, and it's a cognate diakonon that's used in that verse. So certainly he's reflecting on her loving service within the congregation. Another definition or that's been attached to that term is one of messenger, one who's carrying a message or who's an emissary, who's going on behalf of someone else. And it's partly, could be partly to do with that as well. But I think the because he then goes on to talk about a helper of many, we would probably think that he's referring there to her loving service within the congregation. Many believe that she may, in fact, have been providing even financial support for the church and for Paul's ministry.
That kind of leads us to the third term that he uses, which is difficult, not because it's impossible to define, but because, it, in at least in this form, it only appears once in the New Testament with respect to Phoebe. What is it?
Well, the prostatus, it carries a connotation of being a patron or a benefactor or a helper. It's often translated in our Bibles as helper. And we kind of infer from that Phoebe was certainly continuing the tradition of many women in the Bible who supported Jesus' ministry while he was on earth, others who supported Paul's ministry. She is likely to have been a woman of some means who had the financial ability to provide support for Paul and for the ministry and for the church at Saint-Crier.
There's another woman in church history, Junia, who mm-hmm. may provide us a little light on what Paul's saying about Phoebe. Tell us about that.
Well, she's another woman who provided hospitality, particularly for people who were visiting congregations. We do have some evidence from that, from other secular texts, non-biblical texts, and we can infer from that that Phoebe may have been providing similar hospitality for both travelers and for people who were living there within the region at Saint-Crier.
Does that help us understand then how it is that Phoebe becomes associated with the actual epistle and the delivery of this epistle from Paul to the Roman congregation?
Now, that's an interesting question because most commentators, as you're inferring, do believe that Phoebe was in fact the letter carrier. In other words, she carried his epistle to the Romans. Many suggest that it would be unlikely to be an opportunistic action on Paul's part, although it is highly likely that she would have been traveling to Rome on business. And even this word prostatus has been associated in other texts, or cognates of it have been associated with particularly legal matters and some kind of legal business. So it's highly likely that she would have been traveling to Rome of her own accord and was therefore asked by Paul to carry the letter.
Then perhaps a scenario of a woman of some means, perhaps mm-hmm. as a Gentile, perhaps even a Roman citizen, that would have made mm-hmm. travel and the opportunity to carry Paul's epistle rather a logical choice for the apostle.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, then let's take a break. When we come back, Phoebe carries the letter. Paul says a woman ought not to exercise authority in the church. If she were the letter carrier, the letter deliverer, the letter reader, how do we sort out those two things? We'll be right back. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Heritage Lutheran, Valparaiso, Indiana. Mount Olive Lutheran, Duluth, Minnesota. Our Savior's Lutheran, Windham, Minnesota. St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin. Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California. St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa. St. John Lutheran, Yuma, Colorado. Christ Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri, and Redeemer Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. IssuesETC.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.
Grace, faith, Scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
At SteadfastLutherans.org, we've been called contentious. We've even been called the brothers of John the curmudgeon, and we may well be curmudgeonly sometimes. But we always have the best and clearest voices in confessional Lutheranism. Articles from Molly Hemingway, Martin Nolan, Clement Preuss, Todd Wilkin, and a host of regular contributors. Come check out the new Lutheran media. Always clear, always concise, always confessionally Lutheran. SteadfastLutherans.org.
Hi, this is Pastor Dan Kistler of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Pacifica, California. A small congregation on the Pacific Coast just south of San Francisco, we invite you to join us as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation that He won for us on the cross and now delivers to us through His Word, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. For more information about us or for free downloadable sermons, visit our website at oursaviorspacifica.com. God's peace be with you always in our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's Friday afternoon, April the 13th. We're talking about Phoebe, deaconesses in the early church. Deaconess Cynthia Lumley is our guest. Deaconess Lumley, can you sort this out for us? Paul sends Phoebe as the letter carrier, and that would have meant probably in the Roman world not only the carrier but the deliverer. That is the one who read the letter publicly in the congregation. Yet Paul clearly prohibits women to exercise pastoral authority in the church. Sort that out for us, if you would.
That's a very complex question, and certainly you're absolutely right. There is a lot of evidence to suggest that the letter carriers did more than just hand the letter over. Firstly, the ability to read was limited to very few people in that day at the time when Paul was writing. Secondly, the papyri were in short supply, and so the letters were written very close together, all in capitals and with no separators to tell us when words finish, when sentences or paragraphs finish. So it wasn't easy to read that text. And thirdly, there was a little bit of a distrust of the written word, because it really was a society that was used to an oral tradition. They were much more used to listening rather than reading. So the letter carrier did have an important role, if nothing else, in actually reading the letter to the recipients. And some people would suggest that there is fairly strong evidence to show that they would also be expected to understand the content and perhaps to answer questions or provide further interpretation if necessary.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, so that, of course, then leads us to how Paul would have chosen Phoebe for this very important task.
And how is that?
Well, I think one certain thing to take into account is what you've just mentioned, all the facts of her being able to travel, going to Rome anyway. She was probably reasonably educated. And I think perhaps more importantly, she was a trusted person that Paul knew, that Paul worked with. She was one of his sisters in Christ and a member of his congregation. And I think he would trust her to deliver the text in his words and as he had intended. So it was really under his oversight that she would have been taking this letter.
So is there any necessary conflict between Paul's concerns and apostolic prohibition against women serving as pastors and Deaconess Phoebe, if we could call her that, carrying this letter to the Roman church?
I don't believe so. I think that she was not taking it on her own authority, and that's certainly one of the admonitions of Paul, that women do not speak with authority. They do not speak with their own authority. She was taking it on Paul's authority. She was delivering it as a letter from Paul, and he would have trusted her to deliver it, as I've said, in his words and as he intended.
So where can the women who desire service in the church, in these acts of mercy, where can they find the role model, as you say, in Phoebe for their diaconal service?
Well, I think there are quite a few things within Phoebe that we can certainly take on board and try to emulate. And I think, firstly, the fact that she's referred to as a sister meant she was respected by the congregation. But more than that, she had a relationship with people. She would have been part of their Christian family. She would have loved them as they loved her. And I think certainly that's a very big part of the role of a deaconess, is to have this relationship with the congregations that they serve, so that, you know, they love and care for each of those members. I think the second thing we can look at is the relationships. She certainly had a relationship to Paul, as we've mentioned, a very trusted servant within the church. She had this relationship with not just the congregation at Cenchreae, but probably within the wider church body, and the relationship that she would have had with the Romans as the deliverer of Paul's letter. And I think, thirdly, something that really came out for me when I was doing the research for this paper was her humble service. The fact that several commentators and historians suggested that it was quite likely she was of a much higher social standing, for example, than Paul. She obviously had financial means, and yet she was committed to being a humble servant of the church and working under Paul's direction, working to support and help his ministry.
She also sits in a context that we can find in all of the New Testament, both in the apostolic era and during Christ's ministry, of women who, in various ways, regardless of their status or of their ability, women who attended to the ministry and in many ways supported the ministry in ways material and non-material, doesn't she?
She does, very much so. And we think, for example, in Luke chapter 8, when he mentions the women who followed Jesus and who supported his ministry, we think of, you know, women cared for the body of Jesus from the time of conception even to when through to laying him in the tomb and dressing his body, very much in a support role, but a very important and crucial role.
What can we say about what it says of St. Paul's willingness to trust this servant, this deaconess, Phoebe, with his letter, with the care that he could not personally extend mm-hmm. to the Roman congregation that he hoped he would someday be able to meet in person?
You know, I think it gives us a very positive message of Paul. Sometimes people are challenged by his admonitions because it seems to give a view that he had a negative impression of women, but this certainly contradicts that. It suggests that he welcomed their help and their ministry, and it was, in fact, essential to him.
It strikes me that the proponents of women's ordination, which is kind of the question of the day mm-hmm. that surrounds people like Phoebe, the proponents of women's ordination can't really have it both ways. They can't say that Paul was either culturally or personally a misogynist with a low view of women, and then at the same time hold up Phoebe as someone that Paul would, at least in their interpretation, Paul would appoint as a pastor in the church, not a deaconess.
Absolutely. I think certainly given the scriptural teaching in relation to the office, Phoebe would have understood that completely, and it would never have occurred to her to challenge Paul. I think, you know, just from what we know about her and from the fact that Paul was willing to trust her.
Today we have reemerging, at least in our circles here, Deaconess Lumley, deaconesses and deacons to a certain degree who are consecrated. That is a formal office that is recognized mm-hmm. by a congregation or a church. And then, and I'd like you to talk about this, we have a lot of diaconal service by men and women, but I'd like you to speak to the women's side of this, that is not formal, that is not necessarily official, but is, as in many ways, equally as important. Talk about it.
That's absolutely true, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because diaconia is a role of the church at large. It's not confined just to a deaconess or a deacon. And, you know, we have many, many dedicated men and women within our church body, within our congregations, who perform loving service on behalf of the church and individually. But, of course, having a deaconess or a deacon in place means that there is someone who has been theologically trained, which is very important, because through all of these acts of service, we are wanting to always point back to Christ, to point back to the altar and to the pastor. We have someone who is dedicated to helping the congregation to do diaconia, helping to organize the congregation and leading by example. So I think it's a role that is essential, but it's not a role that is unique. It's not to say that the deaconess or the deacon does it all. It's a role in which they are helping to organize and to lead and to encourage people in their diaconia.
For a woman who wants to follow in Phoebe's footsteps and says, you know, I think I would like that formal theological education put to service in the church of a congregation or elsewhere, in this kind of humble acts of mercy service, what would you say to encourage her toward the formal deaconess role?
I would say several things. Certainly it's a wonderful way of serving your Lord and serving your church body to enter into full-time service as a church worker. It's very beneficial, not just to her individually, but to all of those with whom she will come in contact and teach, to have the formal theological education. And, you know, I'm a second career deaconess, so I came to this quite late in life, and I was brought up as a Lutheran and, you know, very well instructed, I thought, within the Lutheran Church, but coming to formal study of theology, I felt in some ways as though scales were being lifted from my eyes and I was learning things that I had never really appreciated before. And through this formal theological training and then working as a deaconess within the church, we are blessed to be able to bring those teachings to other people as well, and particularly to work with women in the church, to support women's in their roles within the church and also to help them in terms of teaching.
With only about 30 seconds here, Deaconess Lumley, it sounds like the real biblical New Testament, the apostolic answer to what people want or think they want when women vie for the pastoral office can be found in some ways in the office of deaconess.
Absolutely. And I think there's nothing to say that it's a lesser or a lower office. Of course, both the pastor and the deaconess are true servants. They're servants of Christ and servants of the church. And serving as a deaconess is a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for women to do that.
Well, let's take a break. When we come back, a few more minutes with Deaconess Cynthia Lumley on Phoebe and Deaconesses in the Church. She's author of a chapter in the book, Women Pastors. You can find out more about this book at our website, issuesetc.org. Look at Listen Online. We'll be right back.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology. And we'd like to send you an Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker.
Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church. Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you ever wanted a concise resource on the history of Christianity from the time of the apostles through today? Well, we have just the book for you. It's titled The Church from Age to Age, A History from Galilee to Global Christianity. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase The Church from Age to Age by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. The Church from Age to Age, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
The pastor became a spiritual coach rather than being the person who would speak to them clearly the word of law and gospel that confession and absolution allowed.
As long as you are defying the odds, you know, you're running marathons at 80, you're still out on the swinging single circuit at 75, you've got some liposuction and some Botox and you look like you're 40, then we celebrate you and we say that's great, you know, aging isn't all bad.
Though his arms were pinned to the cross in the embrace of death, he still was able to take the law by the throat. He looked it in the face and did it to death with him.
I think it's great to expose our kids, to expose the church to that. And I think for far too long, the church has sort of stifled creativity.
In about 5 minutes, Play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We'll play four short bites of Issues Etc. audio for you, and you get to vote and pick which one ought to be the Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We'll also be giving away the LPR bundle package, and I Have Issues t-shirt, Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, and bumper sticker. Deaconess Cynthia Lumley is our guest. We're talking about Phoebe and deaconesses in the church. Deaconess Lumley, there are many women who would love to go get the formal theological education, but they have neither the time nor the resources to do so. So talk, if you would, about the general vocations that are unique to women and how they are of equal importance to these church worker roles, mother, daughter, wife.
Those are all wonderful, wonderful vocations and absolutely critical, obviously, to the church and to everybody. There are many women, as you say, who don't have the time or the resources to have a formal theological education, but still work selflessly on behalf of their own families, of course, for their own children, on behalf of their sisters and brothers within the church and within their community. And there are many wonderful vocations for women in caring and nurturing roles. And of course, we see that even in the order of creation, where man was created with the headship of the family, and that women was given the special role of bearing children and nurturing them.
In what way does an entire congregation gathered around God's Word bear some responsibility for diaconal service?
Everyone bears responsibility for diaconal service, yes. And when we receive God's gifts, when we gather at the altar to hear His Word, to receive His body and blood, of course, the forgiveness and the love that we receive from Him flows through us, and we want to show that love to others within our congregation and, of course, within our community. And every member of Christ's body, the church, wants to do that and has a role in doing that.
You mentioned James Buescher. I believe he may be a colleague there at Concordia Theological Seminary. But he's written about that intimate connection we started talking about at the beginning between diaconal service and the gospel itself. What does he have to say?
He is very eloquent on this topic and talks about the life of the church, which we sometimes refer to as liturgia, our liturgical life, our worship together, and of course diaconia, which is when we take the love that God gives to us, take that out to our neighbor. And of course, if we try to separate those two, there are consequences. If there is no diaconia, if there's no love or service to our neighbor, then the gospel remains just an abstract concept, and it really has no concrete reality. We're not living out the love and the righteousness that we have received from God. And secondly, if we have diaconia without liturgia, in other words, social ministry, without the word of Christ, without connection to church, we then see really just almost individualism and consumerism. It doesn't have the collaborative and the relationship, the purpose that we receive from receiving the gospel from Christ. And of course, again, if we have liturgia and no diaconia, then the church loses her connection to the world. And sometimes we refer to this as two-dimensional. We have a vertical dimension where God gives his gifts to us through his servant, the pastor, who stands in the stead and by the command of Christ. And that axis we sometimes refer to as the liturgia, the liturgical life. And then we have the horizontal axis where that love flows through each and every one of us out to our communities, out through the doors of the church, so that we don't lose that important connection with the world, with all of those around us.
Deaconess Cynthia Lumley is Associate Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. She's author of a chapter in the book Women Pastors. Deaconess Lumley's chapter is titled Phoebe, a Role Model for Deaconesses Today. Deaconess Lumley, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you.
You can find out more about the Deaconess Studies program at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org.